It would be almost time for summer camp for many kids, but camp directors around the country are wondering if it's safe enough to welcome visitors this year, which brings us to New Hampshire. Some historians believe the first summer camp actually started in the state back in 1880. As for this year, well, here's New Hampshire Public Radio's Lauren Chulgin.
Adriana Ben says she grew up faster than most 15-year-olds. She says it's because she lives in Manhattan. Her mom calls it a fast life. Adriana's friends all have credit cards. They take Ubers to fancy sushi restaurants at 15.
I feel like living in New York, I have to keep up with everyone. And I don't really like it. Everyone's so mature. They act like they're like in their 20s at like a frat party or something.
But when she was 10 years old, she found a place where she could escape all that pressure. An innocent place, she calls it, where the only thing she's stressed about is who is going to win color wars. It's Camp Bernadette in Wolfboro, New Hampshire.
At camp, it's like chill. Everyone's going at their own pace, living their own life. And I don't need to like be worried or anything. It's really fun.
But for weeks now, instead of counting the days until her trip up north, she's been trying to mentally prepare herself for the possibility that camp could be canceled. Because the things she loves most could now be considered dangerous, like bunking with girls from all over the world.
You get to like experience how they live and like trade snacks with them. But that's definitely worrisome because you don't know. Anyone can be carrying the virus. So like, it's kind of scary.
New Hampshire camp directors know there are a lot of kids who feel just like this. They don't want camp to get canceled either. But how do they pull it off safely in this environment?
You're shooting basketball. We can't both touch the same basketball.
Ryan Holder is program director at Adventure Lore in Danville. Their summer camp programs are adventure-based, but they also offer counseling. They often serve kids with depression, anxiety, ADHD.
Yesterday I was doing archery. It's like, okay, we're shooting to the same target. Okay, you go grab your arrows, only touch yours, and then I'll go and only touch mine. And then I'll sanitize them when we're all done. Like, that's just how you have to do it right now. And, but imagine running a summer camp, like a big summer camp for like 250 kids like that.
A few camps in New Hampshire have already made the tough call that no, they can't imagine that. There's no one-size-fits-all solution here. There are around 160 licensed summer camps in New Hampshire, and no two of them are the same. And this doesn't include town rec programs or sports camps. These are overnight camps or day camps. Some are for kids with special needs. Some are run by national organizations. Others are independent. And so each camp has to make its own decision. And to do that, they're all waiting on local and national guidelines.
If everybody's got to wear masks, then we're not going to run camp.
This is Garrett Colgan-Snyder. He's the owner and director of Camp Hawkeye in Moultonboro.
We've got kids as young as 7. You know, most of the basic masks that you have aren't designed to be run around with and get sweaty. You know, they're not designed to go into the water. We don't want to give a false sense of safety.
But until those guidelines come down, camps who haven't closed yet exist in this weird space where they have to act and prepare like camp is still happening until it isn't. Colgan-Snyder says this has been the hardest thing. It's a lot of work. You're essentially running a small village. Staff needs to be trained. Ropes courses need to be inspected. And meanwhile, camp staff are trying not to overpromise, but still keep hope alive, reminding kids that their special place will always be there for them, even if it's not this year.
Yeah, I think it's about holding on to a hope of normalcy.
John Tilley is executive director of YMCA Camp Coniston in Grantham, which just announced that they won't be opening this summer. But they're one of many camps who have tried to connect with their kids by putting beloved traditions online. There are now digital campfires and Zoom sing-alongs. Now, the irony of this is not lost on Tilley. Camp is intentionally a very no-screens environment. But Tilley says they've been streaming Vespers every Thursday night, a pre-dinner tradition where staff tell inspirational stories. And campers have loved it.
It's absolutely magnificent how many people feel the need to sort of join back into these rituals that ground them and tie them to sort of each other. And we need connections now more than we ever did before.
Once camps decide if they're on, the next big decision will fall to camp families. Back on the Upper East Side, Adriana's mom, Layla, says she keeps thinking back to the beginning of the pandemic, the sounds of sirens and helicopters every night. She really wants to get Adriana out of the city.
I'm worried for her to just have to have spent many, many months in a tiny apartment, and she hasn't seen any friends in months. I feel like we might risk it.
Layla says it feels like she's choosing between Adriana's physical health and mental health. And she says it's a horrible gamble to take. For Here and Now, I'm Lauren Chulgin.